Let me find where that question went here. Hello, I'd like to know what your view is on Mark 16, the Great Commission. Are signs and wonders are for us today? Do you have a teaching on that? I'd like to maybe, do it or hear it. I don't know. But when we're through, if you want to look, those on the website that I posted there, a list of over 2,500 lessons. They're in alphabetical order by the speaker's name. MM would be me. So if you go down to the MMs and look for a series on Acceptable Year of the Lord. The Acceptable Year of the Lord. If you're able to spend a few minutes with this, let me go through some verses here. Israel had been given some scripture, prophetic scripture. We'll look in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Yeah, as Delta put it up there, Delta Hotel. The short answer is no. Isaiah 61, 1, and we'll go through 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You can tell it's not Isaiah, because he didn't do those things. But it's talking, it's a prophecy about Jesus. And he goes on, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a series of things here that he's listening. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. There's a mourning that will, sadness, a mourning, sorrowing that will come. Let's look at what Jesus said in Luke about that prophecy. Luke 4, and we'll look in 18, verse 18. The Lord, so he went into the synagogue there in Jerusalem, and they gave him the scriptures for him to read. And maybe I should go back a little further. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah we call it. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he looked. He knew what he was looking for, what he was going to tell him out of the scriptures. And he said, he read this prophecy of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, that's what he did. He went around healing people, cleaning people for the coming of the kingdom that was promised in Exodus 19. But he's going on with his prophecy to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And as you remember, and you can look up in Isaiah 61, verse 2 up there, it says, the day of vengeance. Well, the vengeance of the Lord on those that gang up on Israel hasn't come yet. That's called Jacob's trouble. It's also called Daniel's 70th week. But it hadn't come yet. So let's look at the next verse in Luke about what happened. And he closed the book, gave it to again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So, in other words, they were listening to the one that was prophesied there. But if you notice, he went down through in Isaiah 61, verse 2. In Isaiah, it goes on. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. Well, the 70th week of Daniel, that day of vengeance, the tribulation period for Israel, Jacob's trouble, it's called, tribulation or trouble, it hadn't come. It's not come yet. But, well, I shouldn't say hadn't come, because there was an issue of it. Fulfilling of it, I could say, I guess. Let me explain. In Luke there, where he says, Luke 4, he goes through 18, he reads the prophecy, and he gets down to 19, Luke 4:19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and that's when he closed the book. He stopped. He wouldn't go any further because that day of vengeance was not coming. He knew that day was not coming in his while he would be here on earth. So he was telling them that there would be an acceptable year of the Lord, but that there wouldn't be the day of vengeance, the blood moon or whatever it is, the sun turning to darkness and helicopter, well, not helicopters, locusts that shoot deadly, all that stuff in Revelation going on during the tribulation. It hadn't happened. It hasn't happened. But anyway, if you go into Mark now and you look at what happened there in Mark 16, verse 15, he's with his disciples. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As you go through the other readings of it, there are boundaries to that. Luke 24:47 says to Jerusalem, beginning at Jerusalem. And then Acts 1:8 has a whole order of it, Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Here it's all just put together. All those verses are not, he's not saying they're not true. It's just that he's summarizing. See, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believeth what? Well, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's what they had to believe. In addition to what they promised in Deuteronomy 6:25, to keep all the law all the time. The law of Moses and the covenants. They had quite a... but in addition to that, they had to believe this prophet, Deuteronomy 18:15-19, this prophet that the Lord would send like unto Moses. Jesus Christ it was. And they didn't. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. Well, what did Peter say? He did believe it, didn't he? He said, thou art the Christ, or the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and in five verses later, Jesus adds to that that he's going to rise from the dead. That's what they had to believe, and they didn't. That's why they fell. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost when they were challenged with that through the mouth of Stephen. But anyway, as we go through these last verses of Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be. It's not like our salvation. Today, the salvation only taught by Paul and only revealed to Paul, starting with Paul on the road to Damascus, is an unforgivable sinner being saved. How can that happen? God started a new pattern with Paul. But these people, it doesn't say they're saved. It says they shall be saved. They get saved. Acts 3:19 says their sins are blotted out when Christ returns. That's Israel's promise. We're not Israel, though. We're the body of Christ because Israel fell when they stoned Stephen. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost, the unforgivable sin. That's when they fell. And God didn't leave mankind without a way to come to God. He saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus as the chief or the head, the first, the initial one, the first one in into the body of Christ. He was a sinner. The rest that were told they was such as should be saved, it says in Acts 2:47, they were all future tense salvation. They were in Israel. They were Israelites that, for one thing, over and over they're told they have to endure to the end. Well, they should be saved, but if they don't endure to the end, they don't. They don't get saved. The rules are different for Israel than they were when God, through Christ, started this new pattern with the first person being saved being Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Mark 16:16, he that believeth, now we know what they believe. It's not what we believe today. Today we believe that Christ died for our sins, and that's what saves us. We believe that Christ saves us by dying for having died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The sin in 2018 was died for on the cross of Calvary in 33 AD. It's not just past sins. People get hung up on that verse in Romans 3:25, and they never get to 3:26 that explains it for us. Anyway, Mark 16:17, and these signs, and I think this is getting to the heart of what you're asking, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Remember we said they had to, over and over, Christ said, believe who I am. Believe his name is his identity. That's who he is. That he is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They didn't believe that. And that's what Paul said. They lacked the faith. That's why they didn't get the righteousness. They didn't have the faith. To him that believeth, that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. With God's righteousness, you are godly. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those were all signs of the coming of the kingdom, that had Israel believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead, the kingdom would have come in. It says in Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21 that the kingdom would have come in. Christ would have returned and brought the kingdom. Going on to verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. But there's more. Jesus Christ's earthly ministry didn't end when he went to heaven. And they went forth and preached the word everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. But that was that acceptable year of the Lord that ended the Lord's ministry. See, that's where he stopped in Luke 4:19. He didn't go on to the tribulation that would have followed. He spent that year in heaven working those miracles so that Israel would believe. If you look in Exodus 4, verses 4 and 5, tell why God invented signs, why the signs were created. It was for Israel's sake. It was so that Israel would believe. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. Verse 31, and the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children and had looked upon their affliction. So the signs were to help them believe. And they went on for that first year until the stoning of Stephen 1 year later after the crucifixion. And that's when Israel's program was temporarily halted. Israel, the covenants, you can't come to God as an Israelite anymore. You have to come as a sinner. First, let's look at Romans 5. Just in verses you're probably familiar with, but just to emphasize what I'm going to read out of 1 Timothy. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That was news. I mean, it was mystery. It was not told about as a program or as a way for the general public to come to God before Paul. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or in Genesis through Malachi, it was not told. The way to come to God was to keep the covenants and to keep the law, the commandments, and to endure to the end. Yes. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Not like Saul of Tarsus was trying to claim that he was blameless according to all the law. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A couple more verses here in Romans 5, and then we'll get to 1 Timothy. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now that's a future, when the wrath comes, we'll be saved. You know, I think there's one other place that something like that is mentioned about us in the body of Christ. But every single time it talks about Israel's salvation, it's future tense. This is future tense here because the tribulation hasn't come. We'll be saved from it, but not out of it like Israel in Jeremiah 30 verse 7. They get saved out of it. We're saved from it. We don't get into that tribulation, that wrath to come. Let me get the next verse here. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. There are two verses there that do that. But look at this. That's the opposite. That's the present tense. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've received it. God made it at the cross, the atonement. God made the reconciliation and redemption at the cross. We receive it. We do our end to receive it, to believe it for our own condition, our own condemnation, our own condemned state. We need a Savior, and Christ is the one. Christ died for our sins. A lot of people don't realize it. They see the word sign, but there are at least five different kinds of signs in the Bible, and I don't know if I can remember them all right now, but there are the kinds that was in Exodus 4 there, signs from God to Israel to make Israel believe. And then there were signs, that's also what was in Mark 16:20, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, God in heaven, supplying signs to confirm the message that had been taught, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, that they should receive Him and not crucify Him, not reject Him, not be on the outside. But then there were signs on the day of Pentecost that were signs from believing Israel. I mean, the Lord gave the signs, yes, but they were from Israel to evangelize disbelieving or non-believing Jews that had gathered there for the Pentecost. That's one of the three times that all the male Jews from nearby have to gather in Jerusalem for a religious feast there. I was going through the five kinds of signs. Paul had signs of an apostle. That's separate from the body of Christ or from Israel. It's to prove that God is speaking through him as an apostle. God has sent him out. And those signs go on later than Israel's signs. There's also signs given to the body of Christ. You see those in Corinth there in Acts 18. When the believers separated out in Corinth, the believers that believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, they separated out, whether they had been called to be Jews, believing Jews, or whether they had been called to be believing body of Christ members. They separated out to the room that was adjacent to that building. It was built hard against the synagogue, it says, and they could hear all the signs that were being given. The Jews could hear. It was another form of Jewish evangelism, but into the body of Christ, not into believing Israel, the little flock, like in Acts 2.